Okay, you can turn in your Bible, if you have one, to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to look at verse 14 this morning. The text is also printed there on the next page of the bulletin, going through the Ten Commandments. So we look each week at the preface to the Ten Commandments just to remind ourselves what we're doing here, what God it is we're talking about, the fact that we have a relationship with Him, and then we read the specific commandment that we're talking about, so today being the seventh commandment. God has loved us with a faithful love. That word shows up a lot in the scriptures. Faithful, faithful love, faithfulness. God has loved us with a faithful love. This faithful love defines God's own life, and it establishes our life with Him, establishes our relationship with Him. By His faithful love, God has made Himself our God, as we remember with this preface to the Ten Commandments. By His faithful love, God has made Himself known to us. By His faithful love, God has opened His own life to us and shared His life of love with us. And so in these commandments, and especially here in this seventh commandment, God is inviting us to something that is wonderful is an understatement. It's truly wonderful. To love with His own faithful love. That's what God is inviting us to here. So let's talk about that this morning. Let's pray, then we'll read the scripture. Father, You've spoken the word of life to us through Your Son, Jesus. We pray that You would fill us with Your word and fill us with Your spirit so that we truly come alive with Your very life in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God spoke all these words saying, I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not commit adultery. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, adultery, what is that? There's a little bit of work involved in figuring out what adultery is and why God forbids it. Sure, you can look up a common definition in the dictionary, but a biblical understanding will always go quite a bit deeper than when you just look words up in the dictionary. According to the Bible, adultery is, very basically, not the way it's supposed to be, which begs the question, what is supposed to be? Because as C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity, you know, badness is only spoiled goodness. Evil is a parasite that exists only because good exists and evil feeds off of it or evil corrupts it in some way. Evil is a corruption of good. Without there being something good, the bad wouldn't even exist. So there would be no badness of adultery without the goodness of what, right? What good thing does adultery ruin? In order to understand the sin of adultery and, you know, why God would forbid it, because we don't just assume, hey, that's bad and we shouldn't do it. It's like, no, God is speaking this to us. He doesn't want this for us. In order to understand the sin of adultery, we have to understand the marital union as God intended it. We have to understand the true intimacy of which adultery is a counterfeit, a ruination. In order to understand the unfaithfulness or the faithlessness of adultery, we have to understand faithful love as God defines it. So let's back all the way up to the beginning. And actually, let's go even before that. What do we know about what was going on before the beginning? And how would we know anything about eternity before creation? Well, in John 17, Jesus, who is the Son of God, prays to the Father, saying, You have loved me before the foundation of the world. So we do know something about what was going on before the beginning, because Jesus says it as He relates to the Father. You have loved me before the foundation of the world. So the eternal life of the triune God is, before all other things, before creation, it is the most intimate union of faithful love. Right, so the word triune, we use that word a lot. Trinity, you know, that's one way of describing our God. It means tri-unity. Okay, so three, unity. The unity of three persons, the Father and the Son in the bond of the Holy Spirit, the bond of love, the unity of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, again in John's Gospel, I and the Father are one. Talking about unity. Union. He says again in John's Gospel, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. That's crazy stuff. We could spend a lot of time thinking about it, but maybe now is not quite the right time to just do theological geekery. But there's union described there. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. The Father is in me, and I'm in the Father. So their union, they have this union, and it does not erase their distinctions. It does not undermine their identities. They do not lose themselves in a puddle of divine union. It becomes something unrecognizable, right? The Father is not the Son. So these are not, you know, interchangeable things. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. They're one God, and they're one in the Spirit, and yet they have distinction. There's distinct persons in this union. In fact, it is in their union, in that oneness, in the relationship that they have together, in their love, their faithful love, that their personhood is established and the distinction is established. It is established. The Father is only who he is, only in relation to the Son. If there is no Son, well, he's not a Father. And likewise, the Son would not be who he is apart from the Father. So God's life is love. The life of the triune God is love. God exists. God has his being as persons in the intimate union of faithful love. That's what defines God's life. Persons in the intimate union of faithful love. As Yahweh revealed himself to Moses in Exodus 34 and reminds his people throughout the scriptures, God is a God abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So God is faithful love. Faithful love is when one person says to another, I'm not my own, I'm yours. I belong to you. I live for you. That's that faithfulness aspect of love. In the Trinity, the Son is not his own. He belongs to the Father. The Father is not his own. He belongs to his Son in the mutual belonging that is the Holy Spirit. Wrap your mind around that. So God's life is faithful love. God's life is the joy of belonging to another. God's life is the joy of belonging to another. In the eternal life of God, that means absolute unreserved openness to each other in divine intimacy. That means complete transparency and vulnerability and sharing one spirit. This means finding one's delight in the other's delight, the joy of belonging to another. This is the reality of eternity, because it's God's reality. Fast forward then to the beginning. In the fullness of his faithful love, the joy of belonging to another, God created the world, and in particular, God created humanity in his image so that we'd be like him, so we could share his life, so that he would open himself up to us for mutual belonging, that joyful life of belonging to another, to invite us to live in the same faithful love that defines his own eternal reality. So God created humanity, male and female. Two different ways of being human in relation to each other, right? So united and inseparable in a common humanity, and at the same time, irreducibly distinct and defined by the distinction. Male is not female. That's pretty much all we know about how to define maleness. And female is not male. And they're not identical, and they're not interchangeable. And so it's the union. Both are human, right? There's not two humanities. There's one humanity. So there's a union here. And in the union of male and female, in the union of man or woman, our distinctions do not dissolve into a puddle of indefinable humanity. Our distinctions are there to be celebrated together. The differences between man and woman are there to be celebrated together in that relationship. So the triune God instituted the marriage union, and he did it before things went bad in the world. God instituted the marriage union to share the goodness of his life the life of intimate, joyful, faithful love, the joy of belonging to another. Genesis 2, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is that language of union. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So the man was truly known by his wife, and the wife was truly known by her husband. Their lives were utterly open to each other without fear of embarrassment, without fear of rejection, without fear of manipulation. They were free to give themselves to each other with abandon, to delight in the glory of their relationship, the glory of faithful love, the joy of belonging to each other. God originally intended the marriage union to reflect his own life, right? So life that is defined by pure and perfect intimacy with the other in unreserved openness, vulnerability, and mutual self-giving. The triune God invites us to participate in his life. It's his life that he's sharing with us. It's the true life that says, I'm not my own. I'm yours. I belong to you. I rejoice to belong to you. I delight in the fact that I'm not my own. And we have so thoroughly rejected the life of God that we can hardly even conceive of delighting in such a faithful love. The joy of belonging to another. We live in a culture where a core value is to say, I'm my own person. I define my own reality. Don't tell me what to do with my own body. You don't have the right to do that. We think that to say, I'm not my own, means oppression and slavery and impotence. It cannot even occur to us to hear it as good news. It cannot occur to us to hear the confession, I am not my own, as the expression of true freedom and power in the gospel. We can't hear it as good news. Sinners are defined by self-love, right? Which is a distortion of God's life of faithful love. Sinners want to establish their identity in relation only to themselves. I'll define my identity and my life. Sinners find no good in belonging to someone else. That is not good. Sinners tell each other, you belong to yourself. Live for yourself. And they insist that believing anything else is bad for you. Sinners want to live for the fulfillment of their own pleasures, and ultimately have no good reason for faithful love. No good reason. In a world where the highest values are self-determination and self-fulfillment, you can find no good reason not to commit adultery. Sinners hear this commandment, you shall not commit adultery. They hear this commandment only as a restriction on their own choices and their own desires. And that's how we probably all hear that statement, as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 6, which Graham read from our New Testament reading. That's how we hear it. You're not your own, for you were bought with a price. That's the language of slavery. It's the language of ownership, which means the loss of self-determination, the loss of freedom, the loss of power, doesn't it? What if it's God's own language? What if it's the language of God's own joyful, faithful love, the joy of belonging to another? The gospel of Jesus Christ proclaims that God is delighted to say, I am not my own. God is delighted to say, I'm not my own. The Father and the Son rejoice to say it to each other. They always have, they always will. With this triune God, I am not my own is the joyful reality of eternal life. And the incredible thing is God has delighted to say this, not only Father to Son and Son to Father in the Holy Spirit. God has delighted to say this also to you. In Jesus Christ, God says, I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to you, my beloved people. That's what Jesus says to you. That's what God says to you in Christ. In Jesus Christ, God has made himself one with you forever. God has united himself to you in the same spirit who unites the Father and the Son. God has united himself to you in the same union that defines his own eternal reality. It's the union of faithful love, this unbreakable union. And so Nicholas Kabasalas said way back in the 1300s, the members of Christ, talking about us, people, the people of the church, the members of Christ, are more closely joined to him than to their own head. To whom else could one be more closely united than to oneself? So now you are more closely united to God than you are to yourself. So in death, you will be separated. You could be separated from your head. You'll be separated from your own body in death, but even in death, you'll never be separated from God. You can be separated from yourself. You'll never be separated from God. The eternal union of faithful love that defines the life of God now defines your life with God in the same way that it defines God's own life. So in Jesus Christ, God is in you, and you are in God, as the Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. That's the gift Jesus has given us, made explicit in the Gospels. In Jesus Christ, God has given himself to you in the absolute unreserved openness of divine intimacy, to be known by you, in complete transparency and vulnerability, in sharing one spirit. In Jesus Christ, God finds his delight in your delight, the joy of belonging. It's God's joy of belonging to you. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. God belongs to you even as God belongs to God, even as God belongs to Jesus. And you belong to God as Jesus belongs to God. So the very same bond, the very same spirit that unites God to God unites you to Jesus now and forever. In Jesus Christ, the bridegroom and the bride both sing with joy, "I am not my own. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." That's the song that we share, the bridegroom and the bride. In Christ, God's life of faithful love is yours. In the Spirit, God's life fills you up. His love is in you. So for the triune God, life is faithful love, and by his grace, you have that same life. For those who belong to Jesus, it's our greatest wonder. It's our greatest comfort, as we confess. It's our greatest joy to be able to profess, "I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ." That's our greatest comfort in life and in death. So now we delight to pray things like Psalm 26 to God. "Your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness." As a sinner, I'm the kind of person who lives for myself to fulfill my own pleasures, even when it means the very worst betrayal of the relationship that defines my life more than any other relationship. As a sinner, I can find no good reason not to commit adultery. There is no good reason, as a sinner, not to commit adultery in some way, shape, or form. As a sinner, I walk in my own unfaithfulness. But as one who believes the steadfast love of the Lord, as one to whom the Lord has said, "I belong to you, and you belong to me," I can walk not in my own unfaithfulness, but in his faithfulness. Not my faithfulness, his faithfulness. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, God has said, "I am yours, and you're mine. His life is open to me. The joy of belonging to another, that's open to me through Jesus. The joy of faithful love, that's mine in Jesus." Because of Jesus, we can celebrate faithful love as the way of God. It's the way of true freedom. It's the way of true power. Joyful power. Because of Jesus, we can rejoice to say to our spouse in real intimacy, "I don't have authority over my body. You do. I don't live to fulfill my own desires. I live to love you." And that will sound good to us. We can walk in God's faithfulness. We can live by faithful love, whether we find ourselves in an earthly marriage or not. Half of us in this room probably are not married, because Jesus Christ has united himself to us. We know what faithful love is, what it can be, and we can live in it because Jesus Christ has united himself to us. We've been made one with God in Christ. We're members of his body. We're flesh of his flesh. We're bone of his bone. Our bodies were made for the Lord to be joined with him so that we become one spirit. We can rejoice to say to the Lord, I'm not my own. I belong to you. I don't have authority over my body. You do. That sounds good to me. I don't live to fulfill my own desires. I live to love you. That sounds good to me. Because this is what the Lord has said to us. I'm not my own. I belong to you. In his incredible, gracious, faithful love. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who makes us alive with your own life. We thank you for being as faithful to us as you are to yourself, even though we have been unfaithful to you in so many ways. Please help us to hold fast to your word of life, even as Jesus himself has held fast to you and professed the truth of who you are through thick and thin. He has been faithful to you. He's been your faithful witness. We pray that you would help us to bear faithful witness that your reality is best, no matter how we might be tempted to believe otherwise. Belonging to you is the joyful reality of eternity. Make us faithful as you are faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.